Chapter 11.
Vampire.
Amber breathed, and her voice was tainted with the sudden fear I also felt. I'd frozen in place, only half out of the archway that led into the chamber, and I kept my eyes fixed on the figure on the stairs. Its shoulder blades were sharp, with the bone almost threatening to break through the tight gray skin of the creature's back, and I could see each ridge of its spine like a dinosaur. It seemed to be in a trance, as frozen as I was, but its breathing was fast and ragged like a cat, with its hackles raised. I didn't dare answer Amber's one-worded comment, and I very slowly reached up to her bow form and started to slide it over my head. I grimaced when the bowstring made the slightest of sounds as it released into its normal tension, and I pulled an arrow from the quiver as slowly as I possibly could so I didn't rattle the rest of them. Amber was also silent in my head as I gently knocked the arrow to her string, but before I could even fully pull the string back, the vampire turned around as if it had sensed the danger. Oh, shit, I breathed. It didn't look like any vampire I'd ever heard of in the dark fantasy books and movies from back home. This thing was more animal than it was human, with dusty gray skin that looked almost like parchment paper because it was so dry, and the eyes that were nothing but black holes inside its angular head. The vamp's face was pointed, almost like a snout, except it had no nose, just another two little slits beneath its eyes. But its mouth was the most terrifying thing of all. It was huge and full of razor-sharp teeth, and a long, leathery tongue slithered its way out of the vampire's mouth like a snake. And I knew all of this because the vampire on the stairs turned to me and screamed bloody murder. He leapt at me before I had the chance to pull the bowstring taut, and the stone staircase was so small I'd nowhere else to go but down to the previous antechamber as the hideous thing hurtled itself toward me, with its mouth open wide and its teeth bared. I instinctively brought the bow up in front of me to try and protect myself, and the vampire clattered against me with a furious snap of its jaws. At the last minute, it had extended its ugly arms, and I could see a wafer-thin membrane stretched between the limb and the creature's sides, and realize that's where its wings should go. But this ugly dungeon-dwelling version of a vampire didn't quite have the capacity, so it could leap fast and long, but it couldn't fly. To make up for that fact, though, it did have long skeletal arms with hands that held claws as razor-sharp as its teeth, and they scrabbled against the wood of Amber's bow as I fought to keep its teeth away from my neck. I used all of my weight to counteract the creature's attack and flung both it and the bow away from me. The vampire skidded back against the stone and huffed through its slitted nostrils as it rounded on me again, with its clawed feet scraping against the stone floor like nails on a chalkboard. "This room is too fucking small!" I grunted, and I kept my arms extended enough to try and hold the feral thing back as it snapped and clawed at me all over again.
"My bow isn't much help when you're up close and personal like this,"
Amber groaned inside my head.
"And I've never come across these things in my life!"
I heaved against the ugly gray beast and tried to shove it away from me again, but this time one of its claws managed to sink into the flesh of my arm, and warm droplets of blood immediately started to form along the slash. The creature blinked and stopped its crazed snarling to sniff deeply through its slitted nostrils as it took in the sudden scent of my blood. Just for half a second, it was immobilized in its bloodlust, and I took my opportunity. "Amber, channel your firepower!" I shouted as I reached behind my back with my good hand and expertly flicked an arrow between my fingers, like a drummer with his sticks.
"Do it!"
she exclaimed inside my mind. I twisted the arrow in my hand, held it like a miniature spear, and shoved the arrowhead deep into the vampire's face, just as Amber activated her fire ability. The beast screamed in sudden agony, an unholy shriek that set my teeth on edge, and I watched with gory satisfaction as the heat and flames from the tip of Amber's arrow spread like literal wildfire beneath the creature's skin. It was like holding a hand over the end of a flashlight, and the skin turned red as the light passed through it. The flames spread along every vein in the creature's body as it was ignited from within, and when it tried to scream again, the damn thing suddenly exploded like a firecracker. The vampire bodily disintegrated, and a gross cloud of ash and skin filled the stone antechamber where the beast once stood. I shook from my head to my toes in disgust and tried to brush the ash and dust out of my hair as best as I could. "Ugh, I moaned as I gritted my teeth against the stench of burned flesh and papery ash.
Wow,
Amber said grimly.
That was something.
It was distracted by the scent of my blood. I muttered as I scooped her bow back up into my hand and then inspected the small slash on my arm that still had little beads of blood forming along the perfectly straight line. I can use it to pick them off.
This has to be a stealth mission,
Amber said as I tiptoed back over to the stone staircase.
If you have a swarm of them coming at you, you won't stand a chance.
You're probably right, I admitted in a low voice as I started to climb the stairs. Let's see what we're dealing with here. The staircase went on for a little more time than the one below my cabin did, and my thigh muscles had started to burn a little by the time I finally reached the summit. My breath faltered in my throat when I stepped onto the top of the stairwell and found myself in a hulking stone cavern that looked like part of a castle. It was definitely still part of the dungeon, though, because there were no windows to speak of in the giant stone hall, but there were two sets of stairs that led up to a walkway on the far wall, as well as several other smaller passageways that trailed off into the darkness. Below the walkway, I was surprised to see what looked like an old library of sorts, with rotted wooden bookshelves still covered in dusty old tomes and dog-eared scrolls of parchment, as well as the odd iron sconce that held low-burning wooden torches. I pointed one end of the bow toward the library area and heard Amber hum an understanding within my mind.
You think the book is over there?
She said and hummed again in agreement.
But there's just a slight issue of crossing the hall.
The wooden torches were the only means of light in the entire place, so the dungeon hall was still pretty damn dark, and it would have been bad enough if it were empty. But as luck would have it, the room was also full of hunched-over, mid-hibernation vampires. Their rapid, rattling breathing filled the hall with an unsettling vibration of sound, and it felt like I'd walked into a snake pit. Only worse, because they were vampires.
Don't speak,
Amber whispered inside my mind.
Just don't make a sound.
I nodded instinctively, though I knew Amber couldn't see me. She knew I could hear her, though, and I kept my grip tight on her bow as I stepped away from the winding staircase and out into the eerie openness of the dungeon hall itself. My footsteps sounded like thunder in my mind, and I winced every time I had to move.
Stealth,
Amber reminded me.
I'll keep my fire ability going. If you shoot them while they slumber, they should just disintegrate silently. They're not totally grouped together either, so you should be able to pick them off.
I didn't answer. I couldn't answer. But it was as if Amber could sense my derision.
No, I don't know that for sure,
she sighed knowingly.
But it's our best shot, isn't it?
I just nodded again and kept my mouth clamped shut as I carefully slid an arrow out of the leather quiver on my back. I knocked it against the bowstring, which in the unsettling dark and quiet may as well have sounded like a gong being hit. Then I slowly released the breath I'd held since I'd first poked my head above the stone staircase where I'd found the first vampire, and I properly studied my surroundings. I was standing in the southwestern corner of the hall, and the library area was on the northern side. I figured the book the Baron Soothsayer so badly wanted was going to be somewhere over there, so I had to figure out a way to cross the hall without waking the hibernating vampires. I briefly considered attempting to wind through them on my tiptoes and not risk engaging them at all, but the thought of being so close to them made my skin crawl. It would take one misstep, one slight squeak of my sneaker, and they'd wake from their sleep and dive right for me. Unless I could distract them. My blood had done exactly that for the one on the staircase, and I kept this knowledge in the forefront of my mind as I slowly began to draw the bowstring back along with the arrow in my hand. I aimed the arrow slowly, so Amber could work out what my plan was. I pointed at the first vampire, closest to me on the left, then the one directly in front, and then the one to the right.
Pick off the stragglers,
Amber said.
And then a big finale for that group in the middle.
I just shrugged and bit back a nervous smile at her immediate understanding. There was a tightly knit group of gray-skinned vampires in the very center of the room, all of them with their backs to me but with their chests still heaving with the rapidness of their breathing. I wondered for a moment why they were so tightly clustered together, but decided not to question it too much because it actually made my life a whole lot easier, providing I could take out the stragglers. I held the bow up in a decisive manner and aimed it straight for the shoulder blades of the closest vampire.
I'm ready,
Amber said softly in my mind.
Do it.
I let the arrow fly from my fingertips as I released a breath, and the noise it made as it whooshed through the air sounded about as loud as a wave crashing against a shore. The arrow sunk into the powdery flesh of the unconscious vampire, and before it even had a chance to rear its ugly head, the fire rippled through its body and burned the creature from the inside out in a grotesque and silent fireworks display. There was a sigh, almost of relief, and the figure quietly burst into a cloud of gray ash. I watched it flutter to the ground like confetti and grinned widely.
"You see?"
Amber squealed.
"I knew it'd work."
I just nodded again and immediately knocked the next arrow. I padded around the giant stone hall and took out as many of the vampires as I could, until the floors were covered in a thin layer of ash, and the only ones that remained were the small cluster in the center of the room.
"It's like they're guarding something,"
Amber muttered as we studied them. They were still turned into each other in a tight circle, as if whatever was in the center had to be protected, and I started to think Amber was right. Maybe the book wasn't by all the others. Maybe it was exactly what those freaky creatures were so intent on keeping hidden. "Ice," I murmured the one word out loud, in barely a breath.
"Yes,"
Amber said in my mind.
"Ice."
I pulled another arrow out of the quiver, and this time aimed at the floor by the creature's disgusting clawed feet. I let it loose in a quick fire, and the ice from Amber's power spread across the floor around their ankles.
"Freezing them in place,"
Amber chuckled.
"Clever."
I quickly took a few steps forward from where I was and started to climb the staircase onto the walkway above the library. I wanted a slightly higher vantage point, so my arrows had a better chance of hitting true, and I could definitely see something within the cluster of vampires.
"Yeah, they're definitely guarding something,"
Amber agreed as if she could read my mind. "I'm gonna be rapid firing," I murmured under my breath. "Light them all up at once."
"You've got this,"
Amber assured me.
"They're frozen in place. Even if some of them wake up, they shouldn't be able to move immediately."
I stretched the tendons in my neck out on either side, flexed my hand against the grip of the bow, and prepared to take out the cluster. I planned on shooting a fire arrow at the two on either side of the group, and then one directly in the middle, and I hoped Amber's firepower would spread fast enough to disintegrate the lot of them. I unsheathed several arrows from the quiver, made sure they were lined up and ready to grab, and took a flat stance with my feet shoulder-width apart as I quite literally rained down hellfire on the beasts. As planned, the outermost vampires erupted into clouds of ash before they'd even awoken. But the middle creatures screeched loudly when they realized their brethren had dissipated and then shrieked all over again when they realized their feet were frozen solid to the stone floor on which they stood. I kept firing my arrows until eventually the dungeon hall held no more disgusting gray creatures that this world called vampires. Oh my god, it feels like I was holding that breath in forever. I gasped as I stowed Amber's bow on my back and leapt down the stairs toward the center of the room. It turned out the vampire cluster had indeed been guarding something, and I could see a small black marble pedestal holding a thick leather-bound book in the middle of the room. I blew the heavy coating of vampire ash off the book and studied the front cover, though it was in a language I couldn't understand. The leather also looked disconcertingly like human skin, but I chose to ignore the obvious gruesomeness and eagerly scooped the ancient tome up into both hands. But the moment the book left the pedestal, an almighty shriek reverberated around the dungeon hall, and my heart dropped. It was louder and angrier than any sound the other vampires had made, and I gulped as I dropped the book on the floor to claw for Amber's bow.
"Above you!"
she suddenly yelled, and I ducked just in time. A hulking gray mass had been roosting in the far corner of the ceiling, with its clawed feet dug into the stonework itself, and now that it was awake, it came swooping down toward me with another ungodly scream. This vampire was almost twice the size of the others, with fully formed wings and even longer teeth, and its eyes were blood red instead of black. "It's a fucking boss!" I groaned as I scrambled away and made my way back up the stairs to the walkway.
"Same process,"
Amber replied.
"We'll freeze it to immobilize it, then burn it."
"Okay, let's do this," I growled, and I pulled an arrow out from the quiver as I rounded on the beast. The James Miller from Brooklyn, who was low-key terrified of spiders and their spindly little legs and absolutely detested the act of taking the garbage out because the smell made him feel sick, would have run for his damn life and screamed louder than the vampire all the way down the dungeon corridors. But not this version of myself. Giant vampire boss guarding an ancient book? Easy pickings. I let my arrow fly, and Amber helped keep my aim true as the speed of the attack sent the creature slamming back into the wall of the dungeon cavern. Which actually worked out perfectly, because the ice from my arrow spread out across the creature's chest and fused with the stone behind it, and I quickly shot another one into the creature's leg so it really couldn't move. It let out another teeth-rattling scream, and its red eyes were filled with nothing but blind bloodlust as it searched for me. "Fire!" I grunted as I pulled another arrow toward the bowstring. "Fire now!"
"I got it!"
Amber confirmed eagerly.
"Shoot!"
The arrow imbued with the redhead's new firepower whistled through the air and started to ignite before it had even come into contact with the vampire boss, almost like a rocket breaking through the atmosphere. The white-tipped fire arrow sank directly into the vampire's neck. And despite him being big and mighty, the ugly thing swallowed a strangled scream and fell silent for a brief second before it erupted into a cloud of thick gray and white ash.
"You did it!"
Amber cheered inside my mind.
"By the gods, that was incredible!"
"I never want to go up against vampires ever again." I shuddered and then let out a breathless chuckle. "Right, I'm grabbing that book and then we're getting the fuck out of here."
"Wait,"
Amber suddenly said.
"I can see something in the pile of ash over there."
"You can?" I asked curiously as I looked over to where she metaphorically pointed. The big vampire had disintegrated like his fellow brethren, but Amber was right. There was something poking out of the pile of ash on the floor, and it seemed to call me the moment I laid eyes on it. I hurried over to where the giant vampire had been slain and used my foot to nudge the object that was covered in its dirty gray ash. It was made from a sleek black metal and clattered a little when I toed at it, so I dragged it out of the pile of the vampire ash with both hands.
"Pooltrons,"
Amber said in a satisfied voice.
"Not that you need protection, but they can't hurt."
Amber quickly explained how to fasten them, though it was surprisingly similar to how football shoulder pads sat, and I brushed the ash away from the shining black metal. The shoulder plates were sharp and pointy, and I grinned down at my new piece of kit. They were really fucking cool, and I felt like I'd fit in even more in Haddon now I had some sort of armor on my back.
"Can you hear me?"
"Yes, I can hear you." I chuckled as I pulled at one of the pauldron's fastenings.
"I didn't see anything,"
Amber said in confusion. "Yes, you did." I laughed again and shook my head. "You asked if I could hear you."
"I promise you I didn't ask that,"
Amber said softly.
"Can you hear me?"
"See, I just heard you again," I told her.
"James, that wasn't me,"
Amber murmured.
"I didn't see anything."
"Oh, I can hear another voice," I suddenly realized, and I ran a hand over the sleek black metal of my new armor. "Do you think... we need to get back through the portal, right now." I stashed the soothsayer's book under one arm, slung my bow over my back, and hauled ass out of the cavernous dungeon hall that now housed nothing but old books and vampire dust. I followed the flickering arrow on my tattoo back through the winding maze of dungeon hallways and corridors until after maybe 30 minutes, I finally found myself in the familiar antechamber with my closet portal. I went to stash the soothsayer book inside the closet itself, and my heart sank when I spotted the two potion vials Harold the Quartermaster had given me. "Oops," I said with both a sigh and a shake of the head. "Totally forgot about these."
"Yes, but you didn't even need them,"
Amber giggled.
"You were powerful enough on your own."
"True," I smirked. "And I did use some of the strength one to clear that tunnel, which will definitely come in handy. Next time, though, I'll have some more fun." I didn't want to risk bringing the potions through the portal, because if Amber's theory was true that whatever magic resided in this world didn't translate in mine, then I ran the risk of destroying the potions themselves and bringing back two vials of plain old water.
"Can you hear me?"
"Yes, I can hear you." I froze when I heard the very faint voice in the back of my mind again, but I'd already lost it the moment I heard it. Okay, if my theory's right, and I hope it is, then this should work. I quickly stepped through the golden portal in the back of the closet, felt the familiar tug at my navel, and could suddenly feel carpet beneath my feet again. Amber stood hand in hand with me, since I'd carried her bow instead of having her on my back. She looked round at me immediately, and her bright blue eyes grew even wider with surprise, because where my newly discovered pauldrons had sat on my shoulders in the other world, now that I'd stepped through the portal in my closet and back into Brooklyn, a black-haired woman slid off my back and collapsed onto the carpet beside us.